This is the month of firsts, the week of firsts, if you will, the first Lord's Day of the new year. So it's good to see you alive and well, and God's apparently looks like he's taking very good care of each and every one of us, amen, to which we give God praise. So we're going to be continuing in prayer, both in the mornings and at men's prayer Tuesday at 6 a.m. and corporate prayer 6:30 Tuesday evenings. Also invite you to set aside some times to fast, as we like to fast and seek the Lord in the new year. We also have, if you're familiar with people's lives and in through the church, you know that people have situations that could very well use some fasting and some prayer, breakthroughs, and waiting on the Lord and believing him for what they need. Amen. As the saints did in the early days. So we're going to continue to give ourselves to fasting and prayer. I want to then read another scripture. You know, I was reading over your lives, Genesis 39:3-39:23, all most of the last year, Jeremiah 31:5. We also had for a while with God speaking about this hope in your future. And so we didn't forget that either. And so this year, being a new year, I've got a new scripture. and as I'm just reading in my devotional time, I read through the scriptures, and they're just scriptures that just come, just, you know, they just stick in your spirit. And so as I just meditate on the word, and I actually shared a word Tuesday night on the at our New Year's Eve service with the other churches. I shared a word out of Numbers chapter 18. And this is where this scripture comes from. It's Numbers chapter 18 and verse 20. Let me give you a little bit of context before I give you the scripture, because in the whole of the scripture, this is actually in Numbers 16, you have the rebellion of Dathan and Abiram, and some people rebelled against Moses and Aaron, and the Lord opened up the earth and swallowed them. Hooray, hooray. So God brought some judgment. It was his will. It's always good. His will is always good. So we, chapter 17, Numbers chapter 17 is where the Lord calls Aaron's rod to bud, if you remember. And the Lord did this because he said to keep people from trying to assume authority in the church in the wilderness. There are people saying, you're not the only people here from God. We can hear from God. God said to Moses, take 12 rods, put them before the Lord. And then he said, the man that I choose, I'm going to cause his rod to bud. Now, this was a dead rod, if you will. And so they took their rods and put them in, and the next morning, here from these dead rods, God had caused Aaron's rod not only to put forth flowers and leaves, but to put forth buds and ripe almonds in one night. That's a miracle. That's a straight-up miracle. And so that's number 17. And then when you come to Numbers 18, the Lord begins to talk about the priesthood, and he said to Aaron that I've given you your priesthood as a gift. I've given you your priesthood as a gift. Now, some of you weren't here. Some of you weren't here for that. So let me share this with you real quick. You and I are New Testament priests. And so when you read your Old Testament, there are many applications to what God is saying. And I know Numbers is not one of the happiest books to read. I mean, when you start going through it, and so and so has had so many people in their tribe and so on and so on. But you get to Numbers 18, and the Lord said, he said to Aaron, I have given you your priesthood as a gift. Huh. So it meant one thing to Aaron. But then it also applies to Jesus Christ, because Jesus Christ was our priest. God said to him, I've made you a priest after the order of Melchizedek. And Psalm 110 and Psalm 2, on and on and on it goes. But then the priesthood comes over to you and I, because 1 Peter 2 says that you and I are New Testament priests. And so the priesthood has been given to us as a gift. And so God begins, he goes through all of these things. He's telling the children of Aaron and his sons, all of these things that he's done, starting in verse 3 of Numbers 18, and then he gets down to Numbers verse 20, Numbers 18, verse 20, he says this: Then the Lord said to Aaron, "You shall have no inheritance in their land, nor shall you have any portion among them." Because he says this: "I am your portion. I am your portion." Now, see, I could preach this text today, but that's not what I'm scheduled to preach. We'll see in a second. But I'm about to tell you something. Why that's so? It's so over the top of the Lord. It's so over and beyond, because you understand that if we were to go through, you would see that the Lord had provided everything for the priest. He got food in abundance, not only for the high priest, but for the man and all of his children. All of his children. He provided everything for his household. He told the priest, you're going to get it in a second, but he told the priest, "I've given you food." Listen, everything, whenever you came to the tabernacle and you offered your sacrifice, the priest got his portion. Every time the priest got his portion. What was that? God was taking care of his priests. You as a New Testament priest, God has already, he's already laid aside your portion. It's already done. He promised it in the scripture. In other words, we don't have to worry about provision. But what are we worried about all the time? Provision. But what does the scripture say we don't have to worry about? Provision. And so he said, he laid aside all of these things. He provided for all of the priest's needs so he could say this: "I'm your portion. I've given you everything so you don't have to focus. You don't have to be all tied up with preparing what you think you need. You don't have to be all worried and busy about, am I going to have food to eat tomorrow?" Jesus came in the New Testament. He said, don't worry about what you're going to eat, what you're going to drink, what you're going to put on. What do we worry about? What we're going to eat, what we're going to drink, what we're going to put on. Because sometimes he's taking us into that place where we realize who we are as New Testament priests. Now, am I teaching some far off doctrine? No, I'm just teaching what's in the Bible. It's always been there. He doesn't want us to worry about these things. Why? Because he says this: "I am your portion." And he says, "I've given you your priesthood as a gift." And what the priest, his ministry was all about, the priest was all about making sure that that tabernacle got ordered the way he wanted it ordered. And so the Lord says, your primary focus, I've provided everything that you need so that your one and all-consuming focus would be me. Me. So I'm trying to say, what I was saying to the church that night was that when we come into 2014, know this, that he has provided everything for us. I dare someone to stand up and say, when God has not provided, when he fell down on the job, when he missed it, I didn't have it, and I'm, anybody? Anyone? No. Why? Because we just got done singing about his faithfulness. He's forever faithful. And so you and I, we will come right up to it, to the 11th hour, the 59th minute, and the 59th second. But he always comes on time. He's never late. He always provides. And so he does that so that you and I would not be, let me tell you something. And you know, when Mary testified, some of you missed testimony, anyhow, but she was testifying over how she got the financial aid, and while she's testifying, I'm looking at God. I'm looking at how he does it, see, and how he provides it, and then how what she needed came at the right time, and how the work permits, they're coming, and yeah, how the house that they needed when they left Namibia, they were put out of a house. When they're going back to Namibia, they got a house. Yeah, but it's because he provides so that you can focus on him, right? So I'm telling you, there is, so as I began to read this portion of scripture, I forgot what I was reading it for. Let me get back to it. So as I was reading this portion of scripture this last year, I began to pray over your life and over mine. What I was feeling the Lord saying to me in this passage of scripture, you shall have no inheritance in their land. There are many applications, many applications. I'm not only praying that you would, that God would, you would have everything that you need, that God would provide everything you need, but I'm also praying and believing God for this, that there is another dimension where we understand, not just in word. It's okay to say amen, Pastor, I believe that, but when God really causes us to understand even more that we have no inheritance here. I said where we have no inheritance here, beloved. Come on. The Bible says Abraham looked for a city whose builder and maker was God. He never got his inheritance. He went on without it. Why? Because he was looking beyond the earthly inheritance. He said, oh my God, he was looking for something greater. And 2 Corinthians 5 says this, that if this tent is destroyed, we have a habitation which is from heaven, made without hands. We have an inheritance from God. And so my prayer is, and what I'm believing God is, I pray this over your life, is that, listen, you know, when Jesus told the disciples, when he said, teach us how to pray, and he said, you know, our Father who art in heaven, he said, then he said this, give us this day our daily bread. He taught them to ask God for what they needed every day. And I don't know about you, but when I come to that part of the prayer, I always start falling over myself in thanksgiving, because I can't remember a day when he has never provided, when he has not provided for me. And so I go into that, Father, thank you. Before I even get here to ask, you've already shown yourself faithful. So, Lord, thank you today. I find myself spending time there saying, thank you, not asking for anything. Thank you. Just thanking him because he's faithful. That before you even ask, he will say, here I am. The Father knows what you have need of, even before you ask him. Well, there's so many times that I said to myself, if that's true, then I can just go and thank him. Amen? So listen, God has already provided for you in 2014. He's already provided it. I know we see the imagery. I done left. We done left the paper. That's gone. Let me just talk to you. Can I just talk to you? I'm just going to talk to you. So, amen. So, God has already provided. Now listen, when God says that he's provided, it doesn't mean that you see it. But he's already provided. When he told Abraham to go sacrifice his son, and Isaac said, Father, here's the wood and the fire, but where's the lamb for the sacrifice? And Abraham said, God will provide himself a sacrifice. Now, Abraham didn't see it. He didn't know where it was. He didn't know where it was coming from. But all Abraham did, he was just obedient. He just went to do what God had him to do. Can I tell you? Just be obedient. I'm just praying that over my life, over my house, over our homes, over our lives, if God tells you to do something, you say, but God, I don't know how. Don't ever ask God how. Because that's not ours to know. He just says, go and do what I ask you to do. And then he will take care of the provision. He will provide for you. So as I read the scripture, as I think about it, meditate it every day, which has only been a few days now, okay, you shall have no inheritance in their land, nor shall you have any portion among them. I am your portion and your inheritance among the children of Israel. Now, let me just say this. God promised the children of Israel the land of Israel, that, you know, the land of Canaan that flows with milk and honey. If the priest was to get an inheritance among the children of Israel, they would get this size of a portion. But God said, I am thy portion. And the Bible says that the earth is the Lord's and the fullness thereof. So the priests didn't get this size portion. They got the Lord and what is his. And that is everything. Limitless. So when the Lord says that he is our portion, we get more than that thing that we are mostly worried about. I'm right there with you. I struggle at times, you know, with provision and God, is it, you know, you said, and on and on and on. But I'm coming to the point. I'm at the place now where I just believe. I believe that God not only has provided what I need this year, this day, but that God has provided what you need this day and this year. It's already done. Listen, all you've got to do is live now. Because when God speaks to you, when God says something to you, he doesn't say it from your perspective. He says it from his. And when he says, I have provided for you, you're living in the present, but he's standing in the future. And he says, it's done. It's finished. It's already done. So when Jesus on that cross, he said that in the past, yet it stretches through our present all the way into our future, that it is finished. It's all done in Jesus Christ. Listen, all the provision for healing, all the provision for finance, all the provision for everything that we need in Christ has been already done in Christ in the past and stretches all the way through the present into the future. Because when God speaks to us, that's where he speaks to us from. He calls us forth. And so he called the disciples, he said, come follow me. And so he called them into his presence and to walk with him. And so that's what he's doing with you and I. And so that what that does is it gives us faith for 2014. And it gives us perspective. Because I'm no longer worried about how it's going to work out. I'm not worried about that. Now my one and all-consuming desire or concern is I only want to make sure that I'm doing, I'm about what you called me to be about. That's it. That's it. I want to please him who's called me to be a soldier, right? I want to walk worthy of the Lord unto all pleasing, the scripture says. Because this life now, 1 Corinthians 6, listen, this life is not mine. 2014. Is not mine. It's not yours. It's his. The owner, the creator of time and everything in it belongs to him. Everything we see, just look around. I mean, when you walk up, just think about it. Everything is the Lord's. All of it. You say, but Steve Jobs and everything made Apple. No, he didn't. He may have made it, but it's all God's. It all belongs to him. And so he wants us to do with his what he orders. 1 Corinthians 6 and 15, do you not know that your bodies are members of Christ? Shall I then take the members of Christ and make them members of a harlot? Certainly not. Or do you not know that he who is joined to a harlot is one body with her? For the two, he says, shall be one flesh. But he who is joined to the Lord is one spirit. He who is joined to the Lord is one spirit. There's a lot of separation going on these days. You feel it? Yeah, you do. I feel it. We all feel it. As he separates us from whatever it is that our hearts would be so akin to. Come on, the Bible says that the word of God is quick and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword, dividing asunder that which would join itself to our soul and our spirit. So he divides, but he who is joined to the Lord is one spirit with him. Flee sexual immorality. Every sin that a man does is outside the body, but he who commits sexual immorality sins against his own body. Or do you not know that your body is the temple of the Holy Spirit who is in you, whom you have from God, and you are not your own? There is someone living inside of you. He is not yours, but he's living in you, and you are his. Come on. You are not your own. I heard a Christian say the other day, I can do anything I want to. I turned around. I thought, for real? No, you can't. Last time I checked, you can't. Or do you not know that your body is the temple of the Holy Spirit who is in you, whom you have from God, and you are not your own, for you were bought at a price. Therefore, glorify God in your body. Now, the title of my sermon today was going to be, let's see if it still is, was going to be Glorify Thy Name, or Glorify Your Name. This scripture says to us, for you were bought at a price, therefore glorify God in your body and in your spirit, which are God's, which are God's. So my prayer for us today, let me see if I've still got time here. My prayer for us today is that 2014 would be viewed not wholly as 2013 was, but as we are being matured and as we're being brought along in our faith and our walk with Christ, that our vision would begin to be a little clearer concerning our relationship with him, who we are in light of who he is and what he's done through Christ. Amen? So that we would, anyone who knows, have read Rick Warren's book, Purpose Driven Life, knows the purpose, I believe it's number one, what is the purpose of man? And the purpose of man, I believe it comes from this scripture right here, is simply to glorify God. Period. Period. You say, I don't know what I'm supposed to be doing in 2014. Here you go. Here you go. You want some guidance? Glorify God in your body and in your spirit, which are God's. Listen, if whatever you're doing, whatever you're thinking, whatever you're saying, you can't glorify God in your spirit, if it disagrees with your spirit, listen, because the Holy Spirit's living within you. Come on. If it disagrees with your spirit, if what you're doing with your body disagrees with the Holy Spirit on the inside of you, turn it loose. Let it go. Just be done with it. And glorify God. Come on. You can't talk about your sister or brother and feel good about it on the inside. Come on, there's some things you can't listen to, some things you can't say, things you can't do, and it be at peace and rest in your own spirit. And so, as we glorify God in our body and with our spirit, that would be our number one objective. And it would take many forms, obviously. Some go across the seas, live in other countries, allow God to minister through them to others. Others are social workers and help people like, oh, come on, it goes on and on and on and on and on. But that we let him live the life that he wants to in us and through us to others. Amen. I want to have congregational prayer. And I'm going to share a story. I'm not going to preach my message today. I'll preach that. You'll get the New Year's message next week. But I'll just share a story and we'll close and we're going to have a good meal. We're going to have a good meal together, amen. Last night, I was busy working on some finishing things on my notes and so forth, and went to bed about 10:30 or so because I was getting pretty tired, and left my wife and children up. Daphne was, I don't know what she was doing, kids were doing, whatever. So Daphne, I would assume, came to bed afterward. I never heard her come to bed, but she came to bed, and then the kids would have come to bed as well. Well, we got a big old roaring fire in the fireplace, and which is all good, house nice and warm. And when the kids went to bed, somehow or another, now the house didn't catch on fire or anything like that, so don't, not anything like that. But when they shut down the living room area, apparently, you know, the flu got shut too. Everybody know what flu is? I'm not talking about a chest cold. No, I'm not talking about a chest cold. Okay, everybody know what a flu is, right? Okay, so the flu got shut when, you know, the fire had died down. There was no fire there, but you know how the embers are there. Well, so the flu got shut. How many of you know that presents a little problem? And so about 12:30 or so, the alarms went off. And I come up out my bed, you know, because I hear this loud ringing, and look up, and there's smoke everywhere, all up in the house and everything. And so so I get up out of the bed and walk out in the hallway. Of course, Tony and Justin stand out in the hallway looking at each other and looking at me and said something like, well, we know the fire alarms work now. As to which, to which I kind of chuckled and everything. But after coming out of my daze, my stupor of sleep, I looked at the situation. I pretty much summed up what had gone on. Okay, when, you know, told me the flu, the thing shut, and so here we got a house full of smoke. So I just went downstairs and opened up the house and got all the smoke out the house. So I went and laid back down, and my wife's from North Carolina. She'll get me when she hears me say this. But she's from North Carolina, and folks from North Carolina can sleep all day long. I mean, they can go to sleep at the drop of a hat. You know, that's just my opinion. I'm not from North Carolina. So my wife turned over. She went back to sleep. She's gone. I'm like, wow. And so I'm laying there. Oh, some brothers from Detroit can do this too. just to let you know. But anyhow, so I'm lying there, and I'm thinking to myself, and this whole scenario of what happened with the house and everything came a little message to me, which I'd like to share with you. A house full of smoke is like a relationship. Now I'm gonna share this with you, then we're gonna go eat. So I'm lying in bed and I'm thinking about this, and I'm thinking about all of this smoke up in this house. And so here's the analogy I'm trying to draw. When a house is full of smoke, what do you want to do? You want to get out. Come on. If you went home right now and opened up the door to your house and smoke was billowing out, you want to turn around and go the other way. And a house full of smoke is like a relationship in that the flu being closed, it's like not offering someone forgiveness. In other words, that flu is there so that all the smoke and all the things, poisonous gases, can escape the house. If you shut the flu, the house is going to fill up with a whole lot of stuff you don't like. If your relationships don't have any forgiveness in them,
If you never say, I'm sorry, if you've never said, I preached this to my children, by the way, this morning. I preached this to my whole house. So you ain't the first one getting this message. But I preached this at the house. So I said, when was the last time? I don't want any hands or anything like that. But when was the last time you said to somebody, forgive me? When was the last time you said, I'm sorry, forgive me? Because if we don't do that, that's the same thing as going over a fireplace with fire in it and closing the flue, and the house fills up with smoke. Because you can't live too long like that, because if you're like everybody else, before too long, you're going to want to get out that house. And if you are in a relationship where there's no forgiveness and never say I'm sorry, you never take ownership for your humanity, because we're human, right? If that happens, you're going to find yourself wanting to get out of there. How do you know? How do you know? Where the alarms start going off. You got a relationship where the alarms start going off. That's a sign. What's the sign? What's the sign? The sign is you're in a relationship and you don't want to be around a person anymore. You ever been there? Come on now. I ain't talking back to me. Let me say. So, have you ever been there where you're in a relationship with someone, but you don't want to be there? See? What is that? That's that smoke alarm going off, going ding, 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 trying to get your attention, saying you have got to open. First of all, you got to take care of that fire. You got to take care of whatever's causing the smoke. You got to open things up in this house. You got to open things up in this relationship. And so. I'm walking around I go over to Daphne, I say, honey, is there anything that I've offended you with? And I just gave a little kiss on the cheek. And I said, I'm sorry, honey. I said, now give me a kiss, and I'm waiting. I said, now, honey, give me a kiss, and I'm waiting. I'm like, oh, goodness. That may take a little bit more work. But she's just having fun, I know. And so I turned to my son. I said, son, I just want you to know, if I've ever done anything to hurt you, I'm sorry. Because we don't hurt people intentionally, not people we love. Come on. If there's somebody in your family that's hurt you, you know they love you, well, then you know that they didn't do it intentionally. And so that's why the Bible says, go to that person. So I turned to my sugar pie. I said, sugar, never done anything. You know daddy didn't mean to do it. I'm having fun, but I'm also making a point. Okay? I'm having fun, but I'm making a point that if we don't take care of relationships, just like taking care of that house, we'll find ourselves running away from relationships instead of running to those relationships that are supposed to nourish us and strengthen us and cause us to be healthy in the Lord. So, I'm lying in bed last night, and all of this is coming to me, just about open up the flue in your relationships. Open up the flue, and let all the smoke out. Just let it all out. And when we woke up this morning, because the house cooled down and the heat came on and the fans took all of the smoke out and everything, woke up this morning like it never happened. And thank God for that. But there's something that we had to do. Something that we had to do. Get up. Open up the flue. Maybe there's somebody we need to go to and say, listen, I'm sorry. Would you please forgive me? Listen, in a healthy Christian's life, you can even, when you think back to yourself, I'm just thinking back to my old, when I was lying in bed last night, I'm thinking about this, and I thought, when was the last time I asked? Because it always has to come to me first, right? What I'm telling you, it never gets to you, but it hits me first. And so I'm saying, when was the last time I asked forgiveness? When was the last time, I asked sorry just last night of my wife? Because I said something in a wrong tone. And so I said, honey, I'm sorry. I was wrong. I mean, I know I was wrong. Because the Holy Spirit checked me. The tone that you used was wrong. So you need to ask, you need to tell her you're sorry. And so I said to her, honey, I did say I was sorry last night. She says, yeah. I said, well, did I ask you to forgive me? She said, no. I was like, that was too quick. That was too quick, honey. So I said, honey, please forgive me. I'm sorry. So open up the flute. Come on. Let all the toxic stuff out. Man, it'll do you good. It feels good when you, even if you're the one, who initiates, it feels good when you ask something. Now, it's hard getting there, but when you say it and the other person says, I forgive you, oh, my goodness. The relationship just opens up. Come on. And again, back to the Lord's Prayer, where the Lord said, ask for what you need. Give us this day our daily bread and forgive us our sins as we forgive those who sin against us. And sometimes we don't forgive because someone hasn't come and asked. That could be an excuse. But Jesus, you know, he also said, you go. Okay, so just let's open the flute. Is that all right? Let's stand to our feet. Hallelujah. Father, we thank you for this day. We thank you for our gathering together unto you in Jesus' name. We thank you for this new year that you've given us, Lord, that looks forward to growth in our relationship with you, in our love with you, and our love for our fellow man, our love for one another. Lord, help us, O God, to be a people dedicated, committed to relationship, Lord, to growing in our knowledge of you, but also growing in our love one for another. And Lord, I pray that this would happen, Lord, where it must first at home. Lord, that our relationships would thrive. Father, that we would know what it means to care for our relationships, to make sure that there's no root of bitterness, as Esau was bitter against his brother. And Lord, that all these things, Lord, that we would know how to care and nurture and protect, and these relationships that you've given us first within our own families, Lord, then especially in the body of Christ, that we would know how to be our brother's keeper, that we would know, oh God, how to look out for one another and how to be watchful in our prayers and how to be alert and vigilant, oh God. Help us, Lord. Help us, Lord. And then, Lord, on our jobs and, Lord, out in the marketplace, help us to know how to care. Help us, Lord, to know how to clear the air. Help us to know how to throw open the flue and let all the toxic things out, we pray. Now we ask your blessing over this food. Thank you for what we're about to receive. Bless it to our bodies. Bless the hands that made it, we ask in Jesus' name. Amen. God bless you real good. Let's have a good meal together.